Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you be with us tonight, Lord. I ask for your leading and your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord, and your anointing. And I ask, Father, that you lead us to do what it is that you want us to do, and that there would be blessings for everyone with the revelations that come forth tonight, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I pray for the people in Middle Tennessee that got struck by these tornadoes. And I ask, Lord, that a whole lot of good would come out of this by people turning back to you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. I ask for grace upon their families, that they will reflect where they are with you, and that they will draw nigh unto you, Lord. And I praise you for that, Lord, for all that you're going to do in the people there in Middle Tennessee because of these tornadoes. Lord, I ask and I pray for all your chosen across the world, that in these days ahead, that they would learn how to be in that Psalms 91. Not only that, but also that they are eligible for a Passover, then all they have to do is have faith to believe. And Father, I thank you for doing it, teaching us how to walk that faithful walk. And it is a walk. It's something that we have faith and we act on that faith. We don't just say we have faith, but we act on that faith. We walk in that faith. We have that faith deep down into our spirit. And to get it down into that spirit of ours, Lord, it has to be meditated on. It has to be looked at. It has to be studied. And to get it down in our spirit, Lord, because we're going to need it. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for opening up people's eyes and their minds and their ears, their spiritual ears, to hear the message of the true gospel coming up. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. I ask for your grace upon all the chosen out there, Lord, to finally, they're going to get their eyes open to the true things of God. And Lord, I thank you for this revival that's fixing to start because of the anointing that you're fixing to pour out upon your bride and your man child. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you start tonight, right here. That'd be awesome. That would be so awesome, Lord. Fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us all. We need that filling all the time, Lord. Every day we need an infilling. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with us, guide us, lead us. Set a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? I tell you what, before I get started, I want y'all to just in your mind say after me the same thing, okay? It's a Psalm 91 in the first person. All right. Psalms 91, I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His pinions, and under His wings will I take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Drain the swamp, Lord. And for you, O Lord, are my refuge. I have made the Most High my habitation, and there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my tent. For he will give his angels charge over me to keep me in all your ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And I shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall I trample underfoot. And because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise be to God forevermore. Ooh, glory to God. Yes, that's it. That's what we do. That's what we live in, is under the shadow of the Most High God. Okay. Now, how about prayer requests? Is any prayer requests? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, I have two prayer requests. The first one is for Julie. And basically, we have prayed for her, and we are trusting and believing that she is healed. So, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. And I thank you for the faith of the brethren here, amen, united together in love. Everybody here knows Julie, loves Julie. She's been a blessing to the body. And, Lord, I pray you're going to bless her for being a blessing. And, Lord, I just pray that you lift her up and you fill her up, that she's just out of that sick bed. And that I thank you, Lord, that all trace of this infirmity is gone from her. Amen. All these lying symptoms are gone. I thank you, Lord, that she is standing in faith. She's confessing the word. She's fighting the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, just like it says there towards the end of Psalm 91, when we call to you, you'll answer. And that you've already heard her call and you've already answered. And Lord, we're just rejoicing. We are rejoicing that she is completely healed and that she is lifted up and she's laboring in the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing with Julie, even just right now at this moment. I command all those lying symptoms out, amen, of her and off,
yes,
of her
in Jesus' name. Jesus.
That, you know, just whatever you are, it doesn't matter. You're liars. And you're not permitted. She's covered with the blood of Jesus.
Yep.
You can't have her. You have no authority to be around her, to be in her or in her apartment. And we cast you out in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you that she's going to be up and about and back at work. And or working from home, if you have her work from home. But, Lord, I just thank you and praise you. And I pray, Lord, a special blessing of just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on her, that she's going to feel your presence, your love, your mercy, your grace, and your faithfulness in just a mighty, mighty way, even tonight here as we prayed. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We all believe with Marilyn and Julie that it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And I have another prayer request. This is for somebody that I don't believe is a believer. I'm pretty sure he's not. But I've known his sister for 11 years. I work with her at the food bank. She's a believer, but she's not really in the kingdom because of just where she is right now. There's things that are preventing her from being able to fully enter in, but we've prayed for her for many years, her and her fiance, that they're coming in. And but anyway, her brother started getting sick Saturday and had a pain in his throat. And they think it was an abscess that ruptured in his throat. And to cut to the chase, he's been in ICU since Saturday.
Oh, my.
And he's on a ventilator. He has been conscious. I know the Lord is working on him because he was repenting to his sister for how terrible he's treated her through the years, because she's an EMT and they let her be there with him in ICU, and she was suctioning his airway and being there with him. And so I know the Lord's, you know, doing a work there. To cut to the chase, he coded this morning, which means he stopped breathing. They had to work on him for an hour and a half, and they did bring him back. And they were going to do a scan of his brain and a scan of his heart to see if there's any damage. But Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this awesome trial for Jason and his family. Lord, when the judgments are in the land, the people learn righteousness. And Lord, we just trust and pray and believe that all this suffering is not for naught. I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Jason and his family to repent and believe. And I pray, Lord, that while Jason was out for an hour and a half today, dead for an hour and a half today, that you either took him to heaven or you took him to hell. Lord, whatever it took, and you know what it's going to take to get us to repent and believe. And Lord, it's your great mercy. It's your great mercy that you do things like this. And Lord, I pray and believe and confess that he has no brain damage. He has no heart damage. And in fact, Lord, you're through the midst of all this, you're giving him a new heart, and he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. And he's going to walk out of that hospital a different man than when he went in. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the good work and the testimony of what you're doing here. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Marilyn and Barry and all of those people involved. And Lord, we just know that you're doing a mighty work in Jason, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him back and on fire for you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'd like to have everybody join me in praying for my landlord / neighbor's grandson. We prayed about him at the morning meeting, but there's a lot of results I've seen through this outreach here for prayer results in people I've known and people we prayed for. So I told him we'd bring it up here and to expect results. Little boy was born 3 months premature, came in just under 2 pounds. And that kind of hit home because it was right about the same time that Anna and Matt's born healthy. So we acknowledge the blessing of the Lord, you know, in our family there. But this baby is apparently doing okay, but he needs to grow. And this family needs to know that they know there's paradox kingdom. They I just don't think they're there yet, but I think that the Lord will use this, to bring them into the kingdom. But Lord, I'd like to lift up, his name is Rylan Peeler, little tiny baby. He's at Knoxville Children's Hospital. He's doing okay, Lord, but we ask for your grace on this young man, supernatural healing, supernatural growth, that anything that wasn't developed properly is healed and developed so they can get the tubes out of him, get him into his mommy's arms where he belongs. He would use this to bring the family to the Lord, to let them see that God's, you know, what's working in there, not the doctors, that it's the Lord and the prayers that are bringing the results that they're seeing with this baby. So thank you, Lord, for all that, and thank you, everyone, for praying for him and for believing that we're going to see a wonderful miracle in this little baby. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this child up in a normal way, that this child is not going to have any problems whatsoever. Not only that, Lord, that he's going to be given to you. And it'll bring his whole family to you, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody got any testimony? Anybody got any comments? This is a quiet bunch tonight. What's the matter?
You got a comment.
All right.
I'd like to say hi to those few Golden Girls down the other corner there.
Yeah. Hadn't seen them in a while.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, girl. You getting up and walking, aren't you, Julie? Judy? Okay. Good deal. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Judy. Did you want to say something, Judy? Oh, okay. I thought you raised your hand there. Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. We had prayer last night, but I want to add, Tim said, I just want to see a lot of miracles of healing. And so I'm going to ask Michael to pray for a man named Jeff. Our daughter, Gloria, texted us and said that her boyfriend's uncle has mesothelioma. I think that's a stuff from too much asbestos or something. And it's kind of a form of a cancer. And he has 4 tumors in his stomach, and they're giving him 2 weeks to a month to live. That's all I know about him. I don't know anything about him, but I pray for his salvation and his healing. So I'll pray. Father, we pray for Jeff. God, we lift him up. You know him, Lord. We don't know anything about him, but you know everything about him, Lord, and that's what we're leaning on, Father. We ask your mercy upon him. Grant him repentance, Father. Send someone to him with the word to respond to the gospel. We just forgive him, Lord, and Father, and heal him. We just ask you to heal him, Lord God, besides the miracle of healing, besides the salvation, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yeah. We break the power of Satan over Jeff, yes, right now in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that you've opened up an avenue for him to clearly yes, understand the gospel. Father, yes, we thank you for that granting of repentance in Jeff's life. And Lord, he's opened up to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Healed.
In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of cancer off of him right now. In the name of Jesus, you go. In Jesus' name. And that spirit of the fear of cancer, you go. In the name of Jesus. And you, spirit of death, you go from him right now. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Jeff's going to come up there whooping and a hollering about Jesus healing him. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father, that Jeff is coming off of that bed of affliction right now in the name of Jesus. Hollering, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Yes. Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
And amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whew. Okay. I can just see him doing it, can't y'all? Bless God. All right, anybody else? I want to pray for my grandson, if y'all just believe with me. Lord, I lift up Blake to you. You know, I sent him a couple of books today. I ask, Lord, that you anoint those books with your Holy Spirit, that when he opens up that box and he sees that God's vaccine book, and he sees that Salvation Instant and Progressive book, that it's going to draw him into those books, and he's going to study them and learn what it is that you want to teach him, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, this is going to be the catalyst that brings him in, Lord. And I praise you for it. Not only just in, but in a mighty way, that he won't go back out again and not And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Hello, everyone. How are you? Well, how is everybody? Oh shoot! Just give me a second. I can't hear anything. There we go. Can everybody hear me?
We can hear you.
All right. Thank you. I just want to pray for a couple of things, but I don't know if I've sent around the God's vaccine book quite a bit, and both my sisters wanted a copy of the book, so that was good that they asked for it, and they were quite interested in the. Okay, well, my one sister asked for it, and my other sister was quite interested. But I also made a copy for her, so I just want to also pray that they do read it. I think similar to Michael's prayer that, Lord, I just want to ask you that you draw them to the book, and that they will be, that there'll be an interest in their heart, Lord, that they will read it, and then that you will help them to stand in the times that are coming, and also all the other books, vaccine book that I've emailed and sent to a lot of my friends that seem to be quite interested in it now concerning the times that we are in, that they also would be drawn to read it, Lord, and that you will use it to sanctify them. Lord, I ask you, please, that they will. And I ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you. And there, I spoke to my friend. I found quite a few friends of mine, and I told them about the book. I must say, I sort of should be careful not to spend too much time trying to get the book out and not reading the book by myself. It's the only danger that I'm in right now, because there's so many friends. There's such an open door right now. To get the book out, but I must say I haven't read it. I've been downloading it, but I've been so busy trying to spread it, so I rather would like to read it for myself now. I think I've done enough trying to get it to friends and family. I spoke to my one friend, her name is Valerie. We studied together in 2003, and she told me something. I spoke to her about, I asked the Lord, I read the scripture, when a demon leaves someone, it tends to travel around and think in dry ground and think to itself, oh, I'll go back to my house. And then if it comes back, and if it finds the house clean and empty, I think, It goes and finds seven of his buddies and comes back, and the person is in a seven times worse state that than the person was previously. And then she I told her that was my prayer, and I asked the Lord rather to clean me from the inside out than be instantly healed, and then in a while the demon will come back and find the place clean. And she told me something. She said, you know what, that happened to my cousin. He was healed from drugs, and he was ministering, and he was working for the Lord, and then he had a huge relapse, and he got arrested and ended up in prison. So I forgot to ask her his name. I should, and then I'll tell you guys next week. But I don't know if you're familiar with the South African prison system. I think he's 26 years old, so... And I don't think in South Africa, well, I'm sort of very concerned about him, thinking about how he would be coping now. I think he might be in a very, very dark space. So he's been on my mind, like, I think for the whole week, being that he's in a South African prison. I think it's a very bad place to be in. And, yeah, I'm just hoping he's coping and that he doesn't fall back and I, like, reject the Lord. I just want to pray for him. I think his surname might be her surname. Well, before she got married, used to be Sneyman. So I just want to pray for him, although I don't know his name. I just want to pray for him that the Lord protects him and shows him why he had the setbacks. I'm probably thinking, I'm thinking it's just unforgiveness and rejection, and I don't know all the reasons, but yeah, I just want to pray, oh Lord, I just want to pray for my friend's cousin who's in prison now because of drug addiction. Lord, it must be a very dark time for him, I'm sure, being that he is in a South African prison. Lord, I just pray that you protect him in the prison where he's in, Lord, and that you would have mercy on him, and that he'll be safe and protected, and that he will not now reject you, Lord, that he will repent, and that you will draw him even closer now and teach him why this happened to him, and that he will, yeah, that you will use this to the, well, that's in the scripture, you will use everything for the good. For good, Lord, that he will see why he had a relapse and why he probably turned to crime to feed his habit, and it became much worse than his previous drug addiction. Lord, that he will see the error, and that you will sanctify him, and that he will walk out of this let's say a huge Christian, Lord, and that you will that's what I think. Lord, please, if I can just ask again that you protect him in the prisons, in the prison that he's in. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We lift up this young man to you, Lord, and we thank you for the work that you're doing. And sometimes I know from my grandson's experience with it that they go back, but they always come back to you because of our prayers, Lord. And I'm just thanking you that wherever he is in those prisons, in those deep, dark, dank prisons of South Africa, Lord, that you are talking to him, bringing him in. And Lord, we thank you. Just like Will said, we pour your protection upon that young man. And we thank you, Lord, that even where he is, you're going to use him mightily as a child of God. Not only that, he's going to I pray a special blessing upon him that you would use him as an evangelist in that South African prison, Father, that you would use him in a mighty way, just like you did Paul and Silas in there. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. No, it's Paul and Barnabas. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe he's going to wake up and he's going to be praising God for the shape he's in, because he sees in the spirit realm. I believe that, Will. Thank you, Lord, for helping this young man. When he comes out, he's going to be so far on fire for God that the devil won't have a bit of a foothold in his life anymore, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Michael, I'd like to pray for Julie. I wanted to earlier, but I know you guys probably prayed, but I'll just add my whatever to the Lord. Anyway, thank you, Father, for taking care of Julie, no matter what she is going through, that she knows that you are there for her, that you're with her all the time, that she can just turn her heart to you, and that you would just continue to keep her in spirit, that the enemy would have no way in her mind. We thank you, Father God, that you did not give her that spirit of fear, any fear that would try to affect her in any way. We break the power of those evil spirits of fear. We bind them up and command them to go from her. And we thank you, Father, you gave her love and a sound mind and power to be healed, to be that she is healed, and a sound mind to know that you are there and that you love her, and that she would cast down every thought that the enemy would try to give her that does not line up with your word. And I thank you, Father, for your peace. I pray for your peace, which surpasses her understanding, that it would rule her heart and mind through Christ Jesus, that she knows that she can rest in you and wait patiently for you, for your fulfilling healing on her body. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Julie, you get up out of that bed of affliction, girl. You're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You get up here on this conference call, too, in Jesus' name.
It was for Julie. I was praying for Julie.
That's what I said, Julie.
Oh, she thought, that's for Judy, too.
Or Judy, or did you say Julie or Julie Tig?
Julie. But I can pray, I can claim that.
No, no, Sue, was it for Judy or Julie?
Julie, originally. Julie.
Okay, oh, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I thought you said. I didn't misunderstand you.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to pray for Judy, too. Judy, you come up out of that chair in Jesus' name. We command that leg to be healed in Jesus' name. We command hamstring to be healed in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You be healed, girl, in Jesus' name. From your hip to your knee, in Jesus' name, you're healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, pot blessing, you better show up or somebody coming after you, girl. You gonna make it. You do it fine. You gonna be fine. Amen. I'm not trying to put you under pressure, but I'm trying to put you under pressure. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
I have to profess that I've been trying to get her cheerleading techniques back.
Okay.
For the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, bring your pom pom Saturday. Amen. That's been a couple of years ago you've been doing that, hasn't it been, Judy?
Yeah.
Well, she did say a cheer today.
Yeah, we cheered today.
We were cheering.
Okay. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's good. All right. Anybody else? The other day, I didn't pick everybody. I just picked a few people that came to my mind at the time to do something for me. And what I asked them to do, let me get them here. I asked them to do. I said, hi, y'all. What would your interpretation of what this person looks like be? Of what this person looks like be? Your interpretation of what this person looks like would be. And then I quoted Matthew 5:3, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I've got some real good answers. And I got some I didn't understand. So I'm just going to give the one that I do. And I'd like to, let's see here. Well, I'm going to have to go back. Give me a second here. I got to go down a little ways. One of the shortest ones I got was from Julie. And she said, and it's something that's good. She said, I would say that it was someone needful of God, lowly in mind. They were all good. Don't get me wrong. They were all good. But this is short and sweet. Someone needful of God, lowly in mind.
Unknown caller.
Humble. What happened? Where'd y'all go? Y'all still there?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. There you are. The phone went off, and I guess being an Apple fan, it all goes through all of them and comes over and does this one too. So sorry about that. Someone needful of God, lowly in mind, humble, void of self, and knows their true identity in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say it again. I would say it's someone needful of God, lowly in mind, humble, void of self. That's the big one right there. Void of self, and knows their true identity in Christ Jesus. That was a good one. Then, let's see. I got one from Marilyn. It was a good one too. She says, I was blessed to hear a teaching on this about 15 years from a very godly old saint who had walked with the Lord most of his life. The Lord did many miracles through him. Anyway, she had made notes in her Bible, right, Marilyn? And this came, that's cool. That's from his teaching on this. So here they are. These are the ones who acknowledge their need for God. They are willing to come to him through his son Jesus, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. They have a childlike spirit, Matthew 18:1-3. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18:2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are the ones who are wholly surrendered to the Father and his holy will. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Isaiah 66:2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Have a question. What does contrite mean? Somebody give me a good definition for contrite. C-O-N-T-R-I-T-E. Get one at a time.
We're thinking humble.
Okay. Somebody look it up. I know y'all got computers out there. Go ahead, Will.
I think it is when someone is very willing to repent, when you easily repent.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Hey, Fyodor. All right, that was good, Marilyn. I really liked that. Okay, then we got Missy. This is going to get you. This is going to make you laugh. She said, no, it's not, she just missed up. She said, this isn't an easy question to answer. It's a very big description, but what just came to me is this. In a nutshell, this person would look like Jesus, a hundredfold fruit of Jesus. And then she says, was this a trick question? So I told her, I said, no, it wasn't a trick question. I said, be a little bit more specific, Missy. And so she did. And she said, let me get the right one here. Anyway, she came up with a real good answer. I told her, I said, no, it was a legitimate question. Maybe you can be a little bit more specific to poor in spirit. What do he look like? I know Jesus, but then she came back with this, and I thought it was good. Okay, I was writing down a lot of things of what I believe it is to be poor in spirit. I am not my own, and nothing is my own. I give to others what God has given me. I receive of God and his spirit into me to flow through me, to work in me, to do and to will of his good pleasure, so that I can give or allow God to flow out of me to others. Absolutely surrendered vessel of God for his purposes. His purpose, his glory, honor, praise, and for his kingdom. This is what I boiled it down to, because I could go on and on and on. Yes, you could. So anyway, that was a good one also. And then, let's see. I had one or two more, and that's about it. Let's see. Yeah, Joe Britt said this. He said, hello, Brother Michael. What came to me, when I am poor in spirit, then I am rich in Christ. All right, somebody say something. Yep, that ain't it.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
There we go.
That's
praise
good.
The Lord.
Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. We command these spirits out of here right now in the name of Jesus. We command you that tries to interrupt the communications in this fellowship to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, just remind me to do that every meeting. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Where was I? Joe. Then he, did y'all hear all of Joe's?
You started breaking up at the end.
Okay. He said, what came to me is when I am poor in spirit, then I am rich in Christ. When I am weak, then am I strong. Christ came for the weak, blind, sick, and the poor. Then he quotes 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Then Tim had one. Okay. Is Tim here? Yeah, there's Tim. Okay, he said, this person is a faithful Jew who heard the message of John the Baptist and knew that he had been imprisoned. This person wants to be bold in his faith, but lives in fear of the persecution of the Roman authorities. This person lives in hope of the coming of the Messiah, but has been deluded that the Jewish leaders will announce his arrival. This person follows the law with zeal, but notices the constant hypocrisy of and division in the leadership and is perplexed. This person knows there is so much more to being a part of God's chosen people and is wanting all that God has to offer. He wants meaning in his life that cannot be had because he has no means of communing with God on a personal level. He knows what his spirit needs, but for his whole life it had been unobtainable. In our day, a person who is in an apostate religion living with the Nicolaitan system, being taught a pre-tribulation rapture, who also knows that something great is out there and is searching for it, is poor in spirit until they are drawn or led to the real gospel. Okay. All right. Let me see who else I got here. David Nelson. Yeah. I had trouble following this, David. So you'll have to help me here. Reduced to beggary, begging, asking alms, destitute of wealth, influence, position, honor, yeah. Lowly, afflicted, destitute of the Christian virtues and eternal riches, helpless, powerless to accomplish an end, poor, needy, lacking in anything, as respects their spirit. Destitute of wealth, of learning, and intellectual culture, which the schools afford, men of this class most readily give themselves up to Christ's teaching and prove themselves fitted to lay hold of the heavenly treasure. Then he went into some stuff there. Strong's definition, I ain't going to go into all of that. Okay. All right, let me see who else I got here.
Yeah, if somebody that's poor in spirit, it's because they're not rich like the Pharisees would be. To get all the answers and be very self-confident. They have no confidence themselves, so they have to depend upon the Lord.
Amen. Exactly. I believe that's all I got. Does anybody else want to venture what poor in the spirit means? Somebody's got five chats up there already. Check your headset. We can hear you. We can hear you, Michael. You're muted. Can you hear us? Well, yeah, I can hear y'all fine. I just couldn't hear you. My headphones, I guess it messed up. Okay. So that poor in spirit guy. Yeah, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk about him. What do we get out of this?
Let's think about what Jesus is doing. He's teaching. That's what he's doing. He's teaching them what it is. To be all of these things, all of these attributes that he wants. And all these attributes are of Jesus. And I believe that poor in spirit is just like, as a matter of fact, I wrote it all down before I even asked anybody. And it was void of self. Self is gone. Poor in spirit. Remember that. Poor in spirit. It's void of self. It's being Christ-like, okay? Because when you're Christ-like, you're dead, right? You're dead. You're gone. And it's Jesus coming through and being Christ-like. Those two things right there to me were pivotal in being poor in spirit. Anybody got anything else? I liked what everybody said. To make it a real short definition, though, is what I was looking at, and it was somebody that ain't living anymore, that's just Jesus. Because he's teaching them what it is to be Christ-like. And he goes on. What's the next one? Blessed are the meek. You know, we know pretty much what that is. That poor in spirit, though, sometimes I had trouble with that when I first got in here. I said, what in the world is that? And so, but the more I studied on it, more I meditated on it, more I understood that it was Lord of Michael and more Jesus, wanting to be Christ-like, wanting to be dead to self, which is poor in spirit. Okay. Anybody else? Got anything they'd like to add? Yeah, Joe.
I guess it's something I've always had a question about. Why did they choose the word poor? I guess wouldn't you be rich in spirit? I don't know. I'm not understanding why he says it's poor in spirit and not something else. How's the poor play into that? Because I guess, like, you know, you're lacking some things from what you're saying and others. I guess I'm not quite understanding why poor and why not like rich in spirit.
Okay. Dave says he got the answer.
Yeah.
If somebody's really rich in spirit, they're pretty self-dependent. They're independent. Okay. They've got what they need, right? That they got the riches. They're not lacking anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like having somebody that's very wealthy. They really don't need much. They take care of themselves. Whatever they want, they can go buy it. You know, anything under the sun. They're not dependent upon anybody. They don't feel needy. But somebody that's poor, especially in the spiritual realm, is very needy. They know it's not anything of themselves that's going to bring them into this kingdom. It's not anything of themselves that's going to come into the image of Jesus Christ. They have no confidence in themselves at all. They realize if they're going to have any confidence, it's going to have to come from God. This is all going to have to come from God for him to make and bring things about and put this all in order, because they know better. They don't have that confidence in themselves. Paul had confidence. But even then, Paul was beat up a lot to keep him so he would stay humble. You know, even then he recognized his ability. That he says, though he knew, he wrote those things, though I am weak, yet I am strong in the Lord. Mm-hmm. He knew where his strength was coming from to go through all this stuff. And that's where he had his confidence also. But, you have to realize, you get to the point that, you know, you look at this and say, it's pretty helpless on my part at all. I'm very helpless on this. I can't really accomplish this, because we all want to do something. And you realize to the point, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. In order to bring about everything that needs to be accomplished perfectly in your life and in this world, and what Jesus and the Lord plans on doing in this kingdom, it's all going to be from him. And when you get to that point that you're poor, he's the one that's rich going to make this happen, then you realize, yeah, I am pretty poor in spirit. I need this rich person. I need this Jesus come alongside me to help me do this.
That makes sense.
The Pharisees, they got this covered, man. Remember the Pharisee was praying in the temple? Oh, God, I thank you so much that I'm not like that sin over there. And I fast and I pray. And I
Stephen got that up on the chat.
I'm so much more
speaking of
there than that person over there. And that guy, the tax collector. Oh,
yep.
I can't even lift up my face to you. Lord, just look at, I feel so wretched. Uh-huh. And God said, I heard that prayer. Pharisee, he prayed to himself. I didn't have it. I had nothing to do with that. So,
something else that I put down was, you depend upon the Lord, not yourself.
Yeah, amen.
Void of self. And depending on the Lord. That's what poor in spirit is. You can't believe anything that comes out of you. Go ahead, Tim. Tim's got some more too.
I have no wisdom, but I have a question. And when I was reading that, it struck me that that line that you asked us about was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then there's these other promises, blessings, you know, blessing. And then down to verse 10, blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The exact same line, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People that are persecuted for righteousness' sake and people that are poor in the spirit. I just wondered if somebody could put that together.
Yeah, I can, because when you go after the Lord, and we talked about this a little bit last week, when you go after the Lord with all your heart and you don't have any other idols in front of you, like anything, I'll just put it that way, anything else, but you're going to do exactly what you're led by the Spirit of God to do something, and people come against you because of it. Because you're doing what God wants to be, and they're saying, well, you're a fanatic. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a fanatic for Christ. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Whether you want to or not, it's not my problem. Uh-oh. Oh, that's Blake trying to call
me. Hey, Bebo.
Hey, Blake, I'm on the conference call, buddy.
Okay, well, I got the flu. I was just letting you know.
Okay, listen, I sent you a couple of books, too, so they should be there probably around Friday or so.
Okay, I love you. Mom's gonna send me some money. I was going to see if you'd help her pay for my medicine because I have.
Did y'all hear that? He's trying to hit me up for some money. I don't do money no more. But anyway, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Where were we? I just lost all track of where I was.
We were talking about, you're explaining about when you're following the Lord with everything and you're being called a zealot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fanatic for Christ, you know. Yeah, you're taking this to overboard. You're doing it. Well, that's what everybody in the Word of God did, in the Gospels did. That's what everybody did in the Acts. And look what happened. They all came against them. The church comes against you. The apostate church will come against you. Your family members will come against you. When you want to follow God with all your heart, He's going to try you to see if that's what you want to do, or do you want to follow self. Or somebody else, as far as that goes. And that's what's happened to the apostate church. They've compromised here and they've compromised there until finally it's so watered down, it's not even Christ-like anymore. What's the Golden Girls up to?
You know, there's part in the Bible that makes me that came to my mind about this poor in spirit. And I'm not saying that this is what it is, but there's two people that are praying that Jesus talks about. These two guys are praying. One is praying, Lord, woe is me, forgive me, Lord. He's repenting, right? And hey, the other one says,
let me ask you a question. Have y'all been listening?
Yeah.
Well, reason I asked that, we just went over that.
Is the two repenting?
Not the two. The one repenting and the other one telling the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm not. Is that the one you're talking about? Look in the chat. See if that's not what.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah, we look at the chat room there. Sue, tell me if that's the right one or not. Luke 18:11. He said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, okay, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now you got two witnesses for it, right?
Well, no, actually three, because Dave went over it too.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
It's okay.
No problem. No problem.
God's given us all the same revelation independent of each other.
There you go. There you go. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was trying to find the Lazarus and the rich man parable. Forget where it is. Anyway, Lazarus, who was the poor man, always begging at the guy's gate there, but he was a godly man because he went into Abraham's bosom. And of course, you know, back then, of course, the rich man would have been considered to be a godly person because he's so blessed and stuff. And yet he if it was done in a time where you can just see this guy coming out of his house there, big mansion, his Mercedes or whatever, and there's this poor guy sitting at his gate every day, and he might even know him by name. And he's never given them the time of day, and that poor man there could have helped the rich guy. Lazarus could have helped that rich man to think more properly of the Lord. And that's something that I just thought of right now. I was gonna read it, but I'll have to look it up in my concordance later.
Stephen says it's Luke 16:21 or 19, I'm sorry, or 11. No, it's Luke 16:19, yeah. Talks about that, Andrew. He's got it on the chat there. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Will. Go ahead, brother.
We had a guy that was staying with us for a while when I was still a very, very baby Christian. And he was suffering from an addiction and the repercussions of an addiction. His family sort of took him out and left him somewhere in a campsite, and then he sort of felt very, very rejected. And then I read this scripture to him, because it, at that time, also felt, when you read it, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I read it to him, and he started crying. He felt like a million bucks after being so down and out from suffering from his addiction. He was a Christian and a spirit-filled Christian, and I think the Lord was working with him. But this meant so much to him that he was actually blessed for being in such a bad state. Now that I read it again years later, now I quickly looked at it again. It's interesting. It's a bit different for me now, because I looked at it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not really if you're hungry and thirsty because of all the bad things that you're up to, but it's still sort of, it's sort of strange now. It's sort of somewhere in between. Blessed are the pure in heart, and also blessed are those who are persecuted, not because of the bad things that you are doing now, but because of righteousness. So it's strange. It's a bit different now. But for me as an early Christian, although I'm a sinner, or I was still in a lot of sins, it really makes you feel like a million bucks, knowing that you are blessed for being in such a poor and mournful state. God sees you as blessed. That's how I saw it as a Christian. It's very comforting, a scripture for me. But today it's sort of different now. I never really, if now that I look at it again, it really also applies to being very spiritual Christian. So it's a very amazing scripture that it can apply to young babies that feel sort of totally unblessed, and now mature Christians that are even more blessed, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, God can use any of those scriptures to help somebody see him, can't he? He can see, he can use any scripture in the Word of God. And that's the one that affected that boy's life, and that was good. Amen. All right, anybody else? Okay, I guess we'll get in the book, which is good. I like it, book. That's a good book. Matter of fact, I got a copy of my book. Y'all come down here, I'll give you one. We got a bunch of them in yesterday, I believe it was. Okay, y'all remember where we are? I'm thinking we're at Jeremiah 38:1, is that right? Yeah, I thought so. Now, in the book, it's page 44 in this book. It's on page 44. I don't know what page it is on the PDF, but hopefully everybody's going to get them.
45 in the PDF.
Okay, good deal. And Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukam, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malkijah, heard the words that Jeremiah spake unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. David says, obviously, they haven't been inoculated. These apostate people are going to be made war upon by the king of Babylon. And Jeremiah told them that if they abode with their apostate leadership in that apostate city, which was not the true city of God, that they were going to be attacked by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Well, I think that that is a pure type and shadow for our day. These things are coming. Jeremiah 38:2. Thus saith the Lord, He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey, and he shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Then the princes said unto the king, Let this man, we pray thee, be put to death. For as much as he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. They wanted to stay in that city. The people who loved the status quo and their apostasy didn't want to leave, and didn't want these words to weaken them in the war against the king of Babylon, even though God had already warned them to not war against him. What do y'all see there? Did y'all see anything similar to what's happening today? Can I tell you a few things about what I know about this coronavirus? Understand, David was telling me this afternoon. I didn't see it, but he saw it. He said that they are taking those FEMA trailers that they've used in the past and putting them in places and buying up hotels, old hotels and places like that, and apartment houses, to quarantine these people in, the homeless, and quarantine them in it. And that's what they're saying. So it sounds to me like that it may be kind of like FEMA camp or something like that, you know. I don't know. Yeah, Joe.
When you say the FEMA trailers, is it those white ones they use down there after Hurricane Katrina hit the area?
It sounds to me like that's what it is, yeah.
I remember seeing some of those when I went down that
way. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of them down there in Hope, Arkansas. Had acres and acres and acres of those things.
Ah, okay.
They never did use them. They never used them down there in Katrina. Okay. Well, apparently they're going to put those in places. And I also heard about them. Now, this I saw myself, where they were opening up old army bases to house people in also. Now, this is all hush-hush stuff. Now, it doesn't sound good to me, so I don't know. We'll see. You hear two things on the mainstream media, not mainstream, but from the government, you're hearing things are under control. Things is okay. You know, things are all right. But in the alt media, you're hearing doom and gloom, you know, that this thing is spreading very fast. And so anyway, this God's vaccine is appropriate for this time we're in right now. Okay. Jeremiah 38:4, then the princes said unto the king, let this man, we pray thee, be put to death, for as much as he, excuse me, weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. And of course, Jeremiah wasn't seeking any such thing. He was seeking to be the voice of God in order to bring them to repentance and to turn them around. In every generation, there has been that same voice. Yeah, Tim.
Seems to me the leadership didn't want to give up their position of authority and power and their position in the town, did they?
Mm-mm. No. You know, that's been a problem with people in Christianity, is they don't want to hear a word from God. But when they hear the word of God, they come against the messenger rather than God. And it's the messenger that always gets the brunt of the axe, you know, so to speak. In every generation, there has been that same voice. In Zedekiah, the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malchijah, the king's son. There it is a second time, the dungeon of Malchijah. Remember, he was the father of this Pashur. Once again, these princes of the people of God are throwing Jeremiah into the dungeon, into shackles. Verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchijah, the king's son, that was in the court of the guard, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, and Jeremiah sank in the mire. Mire's mud. Ebed-Melech, who was an Ethiopian eunuch, interceded to the king that Jeremiah would die there. And the king told him to go and pull Jeremiah up out of the well and keep him in the house, Jeremiah 38:7-13. So this is the second time we see that he was persecuted and threatened with death. And now we can continue with our text back in Jeremiah 21. Anybody got any questions or any comments? Well, the king sent this pastor to ask Jeremiah in 21:2, inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. We see from Revelation 13 that the beast is going to make war on the saints. Peradventure, the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. And then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hand. In other words, the weapons that you think are going to defend you against the king of Babylon will fail you. wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans that besiege you without the walls, and I will gather them into the midst of this city. And what he's telling them is this: your walls are not going to protect you. The king of Babylon and his warriors are coming into your city. Verse 5, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in wrath and in great indignation. David says, I dare say that most of the people of God today would not believe and would probably smite any prophet who said that they were not going to be overcomers, who told them that they were going to go into bondage and that the beast was going to conquer them. Most of the people of God today would say, no, no, I don't believe that. That's a false prophet. Yet God is saying here through his true prophet that he is going to fight against them. He is going to make their weapons useless, and he is going to fight on the side of the king of Babylon. Amen. Anybody got any questions or any answers? Any comments? So we're seeing the same thing. They're coming against God's word, and now God's coming against them. Gonna show them who's boss, isn't he? Then the next one, judgment comes to the apostates. Jeremiah 21 and 6. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. The Lord is doing this because of their apostasy, because of their stiff neck, because of their hatred for the word of God. They had created a god of their own making to fall down and worship. They may have called him Jehovah, but that didn't make any difference. It was still an idol, and idols cannot save. As it says in Isaiah 45 and 20, as a matter of fact, God cannot answer a person who is trusting in an idol, because then he would be giving glory to the idol. Ezekiel 14, 3 through 8. Let me say that again. God cannot answer a person who is trusting in an idol, because then he would be giving glory to the idol. And of course, then everybody would run to the idol. God says over and over in the scriptures that he is not going to answer when we are in idolatry. He's not going to answer. Turn your heart to the true God of the Bible. Eat the Word of God. Assimilate what it is so that you know the true God. He is the Word. He will not change his mind. Okay. Has anybody got any comments or any questions?
The Ezekiel 14 passage, when you read through there, it talks about how God sends a lying spirit because they have their heart after their idol. So God takes credit for sending a lying spirit to them.
Amen. Amen. Well, I like what it says here, David says about it. He said God cannot answer a person who is trusting in an idol, because then he would be giving glory to the idol. If he answered somebody's prayer, that's giving glory to an idol, he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. Jeremiah 21 and 6. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. The Lord is bringing the pestilence against the apostates, even though here this pestilence is coming at the hand of the king of Babylon. You know, a lot of people today don't think that the pestilence is coming from the great eagle. And they may find out they're wrong sooner rather than later. But however it comes, the Lord is sending it. Now, we could waste a lot of time blaming the beast kingdom. God uses the beast kingdom to do what comes natural to them, because that's what they were designed for by him. It's God who is sending the pestilence against the people of God in our very, very near future. It's coming through the king of Babylon, but it's God who is sending it. Jeremiah 21 and 7 says, "And afterward saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants." Well, this is the apostate king and his servants. "And the people, even such as are left in this city from the pestilence, from the sword, from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." The Lord is going to deliver them out of that, but only so he can deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, who has been making war on them, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. "And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy." There's a great crucifixion coming to the people of God because of their apostasy. Many will come to repentance and turn back to him, possibly even as they're going to their guillotine, or should I say guillotine, however how you pronounce that, or are on their deathbeds from pestilence. We don't care as long as they come, do we? As long as they get in the kingdom, as long as they repent. And it's sad that people have to enter into the kingdom in that way, but it's necessary so that they can enter into the kingdom. Praise be to God. Okay, anybody got any comments on that while I get me a drink of water? Ah, that's good stuff.
Something I've kind of interesting, that last little story there, was that the people that resisted, you know, that didn't just voluntarily give themselves up to the king Nebuchadnezzar, after they went through all the trials and tribulations and all the death and destruction around them, they ended up going into the hand of the king anyway, you know.
Amen.
Had his way with them. They didn't accomplish anything, except just made the path a lot rockier for themselves.
Yep. Well, we're going to see that same thing here, accordingly, with this pestilence that's coming on this nation right now. It's the apostate religion has no faith to believe the promises of God. They have no faith to believe Psalms 91 will save them. And they have no faith that Mark 11 and 24 will save them. They have no faith in the promises of God. Do not trust God to deliver them. But he's going to show them that I do have a group of people that believes me, and you're going to see them do miracles. You're going to see them not be affected by that. And that's when the revival is going to start. Praise be to God. I believe. Anybody else? When Josephus was hired by the Romans to write the history of the Jews, he said the very same situation existed then, as we just read about. He said of Jesus's time and the days leading up to 70 AD, when the Roman sage was against the Jews, that the Jews were in rebellion against God. And he believed that the reason these terrible things came upon them, this death, this destruction, this pestilence, was because of the way the Jews treated Jesus and his disciples. You might as well write in Christian there, because there's no difference today. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. The way they treat Jesus and his people is no different today. Remember he said in Matthew 10 and 40, "He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." And then Matthew 25 and 40. "Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me." So it depends on how they treat God's representatives as to how God is going to treat them. In Jesus' day, Josephus said it was the way the Jews treated Jesus and his disciples that caused this great judgment to fall upon them. And it ain't no different today, folks. There are people who are going to, once again, rail against and hate God's leadership that he's sending. And I'm not talking about an individual man. I'm talking about the first fruits man-child leadership that God is raising up to restore the church to the Word of God. And once again, however they treat these people will be how they're going to be treated. This story is found again in Jeremiah 27. Did anybody want to make a comment or have a question on that last paragraph? Y'all understand that the church is going to come against God's people. It's going to be the apostate religion that comes against God's people. You know why? Because people's going to be leaving their churches and going to follow God's true people. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go to this man child because they see something different in him. They see salvation in him rather than their apostate church. Yeah, Joe.
That reminds me, I forget where David said it, but I guess he had a dream years ago where I guess there was pastors of specific churches. I don't know if they were down there in Tennessee or where they were. They were all meeting together because like they never heard of David, but they were like scheming against him because I guess, you know, he was, I mean, basically saying, you know, doing what you were saying there, you know, people were leaving the churches, you know, and they're like, we don't know this David Eales guy, but people keep leaving our churches and following him. We need to do something about him. I don't know if you remember that, if it was a dream or a vision, but I think I remember hearing that somewhere, and it goes perfectly with what you're saying there. So
yeah, I don't remember something like that. Yeah, if something yeah. like it, but then you're going to see that. You're going to see it.
Absolutely.
Okay, this story is found again in Jeremiah 27, and I'd like to take a look at it so that you can get the flavor of that time. This is the same king, Zedekiah, and the Lord gave Jeremiah a word to send him through his messengers. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the men, and the beasts that are upon the faces of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I give it unto whom it seemeth right, unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Nebuchadrezzar was his servant to bring under subjection, bring to their cross the Lord's rebellious people. It was like breaking a horse to make it useful to the rider. And the beasts of the field also have I given him to serve him. The beasts were those kingdoms that were ruled over according to Daniel chapter 2 and 3. Verse 7, and all the nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his own land come. And then many nations and great kings shall make him their bondman. These three leaders ruled during the 70 years of the nations being conquered and the captivity of God's people under Babylon. Some people don't believe that there might be three leaders in the future for the time of the 7 years of tribulation, but I disagree. I believe we're going to see that happen, he says. Jeremiah 27 and 8, and it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence. There it is again. Apparently, the people are not qualified for the Passover vaccine. Yeah, Will, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, I'm going to throw us back a bit, if it's all right with you. This part, we're it just stuck with me, and I was just wanting us to maybe, if possible, go back to it. God cannot answer a person who is trusting in an idol, because then he would be giving glory to the idol. Mm-hmm. If you can just maybe, what did I want to ask? Yeah, there was this, I'm sort of, for every Christian that wants counsel from the Lord, you want to talk to the Lord and you want to get your answers and you want to progress, and sometimes very serious, serious answers that we need from the Lord as to life decisions and stuff like that. Can we as Christians like now be guilty of not getting an answer, you know? And because the other day I was sort of seeing the Lord now step by step throughout my day as to what decisions I have to make. And then sometimes I use a lot. And then the Lord guided me, or I asked the Lord, should I do this or that? And then it went in a direction, and it just didn't work out. It was a big sort of, I didn't get the results that I wanted. So I'm sort of wondering, maybe I had an idol. So the lot fell on, yes, we am going to do this that way. And then I bumped my head, I must say. And now I'm sort of afraid to go back to that sort of guidance. But maybe this is the Lord answering me. If you can just maybe give me an example, you know, what would that be like if you have an idol? You know, I hopefully I'm expressing myself correctly, so I get the answer that I need. If you can just maybe elaborate on that a bit more, I would appreciate that.
Okay, let's go with the scriptures that David gave for that. And he said it was in Ezekiel 14, chapter 14, verses 3 through 8. Let's see what that says. Maybe it'll give us a little clearer indication of what he's talking about. He says, "Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling blocks of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" In other words, should they pray to me at all? Because they've got an idol. They're looking at the idol rather than me. "Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, return ye and turn yourselves from your idols, turn away your faces from all your abomination, for every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separates himself from me and takes his idol into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him an astonishment, for a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord." They were in apostate. They got another Jesus, okay? These people have another Jesus. They're looking at their religion. They're looking at man rather than the Word of God. That's what somebody with an idol has. When you've got somebody that says, contrary to what the Word of God says, once saved, always saved doctrine, pre-tribulation doctrine, I'm looking at man rather than looking at the Word of God doctrine, rather than doing what the Word of God says. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the only way that you can do that is through Jesus, the Word. That's the idol you ought to have. That's the idol that God wants all of us to have. Now, what you're talking about, Will, when you're you don't, when you're coming into this truth, when you're coming into the truth of the gospel, he's got a lot of grace with us, a lot of grace. And he understands, as long as you're going as what you know, with what you know, that you're righteous. It's when we start having these religious spirits speak to us and say, well, you can't listen to that. La, 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 la. I ain't listening. Because it comes against your religion. It comes against your belief system. There was something that somebody said one time. He said, when your religion and your belief system comes against the Word of God, doesn't agree with the whole Word of God, then what are you going to do? Are you going to go with the Word of God? Or are you going to go with your religion? Idol. That's an idol. That's why you have these apostate religions. It's because they don't read, people don't read and study the Word of God. And all you, all I just love my pastor. My pastor is so awesome, man. I'm just going to tell you something about that man. He is right next to Jesus, I'm telling you. But he's sitting there spewing out wrong doctrine. That's an idol.
Yeah, it does help, you know. I'm just because I recently had a scenario, you know. I think as we grow in Christ, we all are improving on our communication with God on a daily basis and getting more guidance during the day. And if we make a mistake, we're very keen to look at maybe this was it, you know, maybe in that area I might still be have an idol in my life that that I can't get an answer from God properly, that maybe I need to repent. That's sort of what I'm looking into. Maybe there's an idol there that caused me to go in a bit of a get a wrong answer, because I didn't get the results that I quite needed. So there was like, it actually had it had something to do with a cow that died, and I need to look at and I had to make crucial decisions and it didn't work out. So I'm sort of thinking, why didn't I get the answer that I needed in that moment? And it sort of damaged a bit of my trust in God, I must say, for getting the guidance and decisions that I needed. Now I'm sort of a step back again and just sort of, I need that sort of healed and cleansed before I go on to trusting God on that level again, you know. Following my own head, you know, I'm sort of trusting on my own reason for a bit now. You know, you when you bump your head a bit, you sometimes it damages your relationship with the Lord, and you tend to go a step backwards. So I just sort of, if the Lord can just cleanse that for me, so I can go back to asking the Lord for every single decision I make every single day, and waiting for His guidance, I think it would be better. But I don't know why I bumped my head. It hurt me, I must say.
Amen. Well, I would ask the Lord, you know, Lord, why did this happen? I don't want it to happen again. I want to trust you implicitly. And the only way that I can do that is to be able to pray and believe that you're going to do it. Now, who was wrong? You or God?
Really me, you know, that would be a big mistake. Obviously, yeah, luckily I've got that, you know. I've blamed the Lord before in the past, and boy, that is not a clever thing to do, because when He comes in judgment, you know, and you feel the glory and His majesty, you're like, William, what were you thinking? Don't go back there. So yeah, I know the mistake is with me somewhere. I'm just very diligent now and finding out why, you know, why? Because it's really now growing into the place where, Lord, this is your day. Every single decision I make, I must clarify and then wait upon you and your angels to guide me, and then put down my own ideas of this day, you know. And it's quite simple, but in theory, but not as simple when it comes to the practical.
Amen. Well, can I pray for you?
Yeah, I appreciate
okay. that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Will, and I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in him. And I ask, Father, that you clarify things with Will and find out, help him to find out where he missed it, where he missed you. And I thank you for doing that for Will, Lord. Let it be so clear in his mind that there will be no mistakes made. And Lord, I ask that you bring him back to that place of trust in you for the answers for everything. In Jesus' name. Matter of fact, I pray that for all of us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bring us all to that point of where we trust you implicitly for every step we make. Even for the life of a cow, a precious cow. Lord, I ask that you give us that that wisdom to trust you and the faith to believe that you're going to carry through with our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add? Okay. There it is again. Apparently, the people are not qualified for the Passover vaccine until I have consumed them by his hand. But as for you, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreams, nor to your soothsayers, nor to your sorcerers that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nation that shall bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, this is necessary for the crucifixion. Amen. And serve him, that nation will I let remain in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. And I spake to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? That word pestilence keeps popping up over and over. Now, let me just say something. Something else just came to my mind, Will. I know this much about people that have dreams, and I'll relate it to you. When they are in, let's say, a little bit of faction or any kind of sin, their dreams are not right anymore. Their dreams are miscued. They don't go along with the Word of God. That happens. That happens not a lot, but it happens, and you can just almost see when it starts to happen, because it goes back to whatever, you know, their sin is. And so I just say it that way. That word pestilence keeps popping up over and over. Obviously, those people of God who chose to war with the beast in the flesh are not going to escape the judgment that's going to come through the hand of the beast. Amen. We're commanded instead to, in Ephesians 6 and 17, take the sword of the Spirit. That's a good one. And in verse 12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, let's look at further proof of this in Jeremiah 39 and 8. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. That's the apostate Jerusalem. And when I say Jerusalem, I'm applying it to Christendom too, not just the Jews. We have our own New Testament spiritual Israel and our own King David. Yet people would rather not serve him. They would rather serve all the apostates with whom they have replaced him. And then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the residue of the people that remained in the city. So they were taken into bondage. The deserters also that fell away to him, and the residue of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people that had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Praise God. Who do you think those poor of the people are? All the prophecies about Jesus coming were that he would preach unto the poor. But this is not talking about the financially poverty stricken. James 2 and 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not God choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to them that love him? Now this is talking about those who were poor as to the ways of the world. God chose them to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. And notice that God provided for these people. But what did the Lord say about those people the world considered to be important, such as Pashur and his whole house? The Lord said, you're going into captivity. And you shouldn't have even been named Pashur because you're not going to be free. That's what Pashur means, to be free. You're going to have terror on every side. And this story is telling us very clearly who is going to be threatened by the terrorist in our day. Because history always repeats, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. Has anybody got any questions or any comments on this? There's a lot of people going to go into captivity. Bondage to pestilence or bondage to the government or whatever. And some of them are going to repent before they die. And that's a good thing, you know, that's a good thing. But a lot of them are not. Anybody else got any comments or any questions at this point? The people who are willing to listen to the truth may get out of that bondage. It's the ones who don't want to give up their religion, their idol, so to speak, that are going to go into bondage in one way or another. And it's best to go into this thing believing God than it is to believe what some preacher sends up here and tells you. Jeremiah 39 and 11. Well, we're about out of time here. Let's stop right there, Jeremiah 39 and 11. Okay, anybody got any questions about what we've read so far? It's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Pretty good stuff. I enjoy it. Builds my faith up. I don't know about y'all, but it builds my faith up. You know why? Because I know I get excited about what's fixing to come on the horizon here. It's right here on the horizon, almost on us here. My gracious sakes alive. Can y'all imagine the miracles that are fixing to happen? Woo, my, y'all ought to get excited like me. Man, glory to God. You're going to be able to use what God's given you. And that's faith. Whoo, my goodness gracious. Your people are going to be calling you. You remember when you told me that this pestilence was coming? What do? My family's got it. I got it. And they tell me that they can't do anything about it. Just go home and die. What you going to do? What do I need to do? And you'll be able to tell them. Repent and believe. That's all you need to do. Repent and believe. You, my. Okay. All right, Lord, I just thank you so much for this book. I thank you so much for anointing David, for the messages that come forth out of it, Lord. And I know it all came from you, Lord. You gave it to David, and he given it to us. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for all the word that's in there, Lord, and the faith that's building us up to trust you implicitly, like we said before, that we've surrendered everything in our life to you, Lord. We lay it all on the altar. It's yours. I don't want it. I know they don't want it. And we give it to you, Father. We don't have an idol anymore because we've given it to you. It's up on the cross, and we ain't bringing it back down. Because we know that when it's up there on the cross, it's dead. That idol is dead. And Father, we thank you for bringing us out of that bondage of idols and all of that stuff, and bringing us into the kingdom in a mighty way, Lord. We're free in you. When we're free in you, we are free indeed. Lord, our God, thank you, Jesus. Our mind's not cluttered up with a bunch of junk. It's just there with you, Lord. Because we know that you're leading us and you're guiding us the whole way. Thank you, Father, for doing that for each one of us. Lord, have us get into that personal place with you every day. And I know you're going to give us time to do that here shortly. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you for this fast that you've got us on. And the fast is to pray for the chosen people throughout the world and pray that they would have this Passover that's coming for this pestilence, Lord. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in each one of us. Give us all a good night's sleep, just like you said in Psalms 127, 2, that my beloved is going to get some good sleep. I'm your beloved, and these people here are too. Then my brothers and sisters are too. We're all going to get a good night's sleep tonight. Thank you, Lord, and when we wake up in the morning, we're going to have our minds completely on you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Julie's healing. We thank you, Lord, for all the cancers that are gone and all the healings that are taking place. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for being our God. We love you, and we want more of you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, good night, folks. God bless you. Let me get y'all turned off here. All right.